The issue of stolen wages grabbed the headlines about 5 years ago in this country, prompting a Senate inquiry, political apologies, and calls for the states to make financial amends. State and territory governments stand accused of ignoring their obligations to repay thousands of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander workers decades of withheld wages. So far, only Queensland and New South Wales have taken action, and in both states there's anger about the way this is being handled. From Brisbane, Cathy Van Extel reports.
They said to us, sign this piece of paper and don't come back because you won't get any more. Well, what do you think? We signed it. We signed it under duress because we thought if we didn't, what are we going to get? Nothing?
78-year-old Edna Alley from Rockhampton received $4,000, then a further $3,000 under the Queensland Government's stolen wages scheme. In accepting the payment, she's foregone the right to make any further claims against the state, as have about 7,000 other Indigenous Queenslanders. Edna Alley feels she's been cheated. As a 15-year-old, Edna Alley was sent to Rockhampton from Woorabinda.
I was very lucky with the first family I got. They were very lovely people, and I stayed 3 years with them working as a domestic. They just give me this little, as I said, equivalent of probably 15 cents today. Was enough to pay your bus fare into town and maybe buy a drink and go home, and then from there on we walked everywhere. We had no money.
For how long did this go on for you then?
Well, that was the 3 years I spent with them, and then I was sent back to Woorabinda, and then they sent me out again to another place. And the other place was an elderly couple, but they were very hard people to work for. I'd start at 6 a.m. and I'd be still polishing doorknobs at 10 p.m. They had a great big house. You were working for them and you worked for them. So I put up with another 2 years there before I got my exemption from the settlement and came out. And that's when I realised then that when you worked, you got money in your hand and you did what you liked with that money.
Most of Edna Alley's wages were controlled by the state. If she needed to buy anything, it was at the discretion of an Aboriginal protector.
Maybe I wanted a new frock for Mondays or something like that. So they wrote out what we wanted on a piece of paper and we took it to the special shop. We had to take it back then and show them what we were getting and how much it cost. If it was a bit expensive, they thought, we had to go back again and have a look at something cheaper and go back to them. And then we never got the money. We took it back to the shop.
Historian, author and stolen wages campaigner Ros Kidd says Australia's early economic development was driven by the labour of Indigenous people.
For most of Australia's history, actually, our development, which was our pastoral development, depended entirely on Aboriginal workers. There were, of course, many white people working in the industry, but government records themselves state frequently that in all the remoter areas of Australia, South Australia, West Australia, Northern Territory, Queensland, it was Aboriginal workers who kept the industry going, and it was precisely because governments controlled their wages and sold them at a cut price that the industry was able to develop profitably.
In 2002, then Queensland Premier Peter Beattie told Parliament up to $500 million in wages could have been stolen by the state. He promised to repay $55 million to those affected. Last year, the government closed the scheme, redirecting $21 million of unpaid money to an Indigenous education fund. Edna Alley believes wages are being stolen again.
Be put in an education fund because my two grandsons went to university here. They had to pay money like something like $22,000. Why are they giving it to other kids or other people now? Are they going to pay it back? Because it's our money. It's not government money. It's our money.
She has the support of the Queensland Council of Unions, which is campaigning for the money to be spent on the workers. General Secretary Ron Monaghan.
We believe that the people who actually had their wages stolen are the only ones that should have the money recompensed to them to the full amount.
The Queensland Council of Unions is also pushing ahead with federal court action on behalf of Aboriginal elder Conrad Yateman from Yarrabah for his wages earned in the 50s as a carpenter and labourer. It's likely to be the first of other legal action in Australia over stolen wages. In New South Wales, the Aboriginal Trust Fund Repayment Scheme, started in 2005, closed last year. Claims were due to be processed by June, however, it's been extended until December. So far, about $2.5 million has been paid out. Of the 5,587 claims made, only 1,369 have been finalised. That's about 25%.
Based on the numbers of Aboriginal people that were affected by stolen wages policies and the amounts that might be available to them, the reported figure was $70 million. That's not a figure that's been endorsed by government.
Vava Mawuli is the acting principal solicitor of the Public Interest Advocacy Centre, which is helping claimants. She doesn't believe the issue will be closed once the remaining 3,500 claims have been processed.
So I think that there'll still be ongoing issues as to how the government proposes to deal with those people who are owed money but didn't manage to register a claim on time. And then there's ongoing issues arising from the underpayment of wages to Aboriginal people over a period of more than 70 years in New South Wales. There's also issues of some of the harm and abuses that Aboriginal people suffered during this period.
Ros Kidd agrees. She says wages were stolen in all of the states and Northern Territory, and it's a national issue that's not resolved.
They all controlled Aboriginal workers and particularly children. They all seem to have taken the money of these people and not provided proper accounts. Most states and the Northern Territory transferred Aboriginal trust monies through to consolidated revenue. And there certainly are major, major questions to ask about why the states and the Northern Territory did not make sure that the money that was paid to them by the Commonwealth for pensions and child endowment was not paid through.
Ros Kidd says the state and territory governments are refusing to make their records available for scrutiny, and she questions their motives.
I don't think there's been much activity at all now, and there's not much public interest. I think governments around Australia have read the political wind and decided if they do very little, they're hoping the general public will forget it.
In the meantime, Ron Monaghan and Edna Alley are worried that time is running out.
We're talking to people who have been subject to these acts who are 60, 70, 80 and 90 years old. And each year we lose a few more.
I tell you what, it has affected us over the years very badly. And to think now that we cannot get what we knew was ours, it's not good.
It's not good. Edna Alley is an Aboriginal elder from Rockhampton whose wages were taken by the state 60 years ago.